Hi. So I'm Emma, if you don't know me. And I've been thinking a lot about what I've been seeing on GWA, and I guess a little bit on GWA backstage. And wanted to kind of say some of the things that I've been thinking. I've also considered the fact that I'm white and that my voice is not really the one that needs to be elevated right now. That being said, don't listen to this without also listening to Zeta Midnight's audio. The How Can I Be Sexy If I Can't Breathe one. I think that's really important for everyone to hear, but especially those who write for the community. Whether you're a writer or a performer making original content, I just gained a lot from listening, and I think that you might as well. And I think that it can also give you a little bit of insight about what I'm talking about. What I want to say. I don't really post here ever, but it's really the first time I've ever felt seriously compelled to engage a little bit more with the community as a whole. God, it feels like there's so much to say that it's, like, hard to wrap my head around. So I'm assuming we all saw the GWA official post about Black Lives Matter, and unfortunately we've probably all seen the comments beneath it. I mean, there's of course a lot of really great things there, but also a lot of disheartening things that were said. You know, you see a lot of the rhetoric that you see all over the place with the All Lives Matter and how it's all kind of like bullshit and not actually a serious problem and how it doesn't need to be political here, etc., etc. And I wish there was something that could be said. I wish that there was some easy buzz phrase or statistic that you could show those people that would make them seriously actually reconsider the shit that they're saying. At the very least, have them return the same energy of compassion and understanding that I'm seeing from the people who are committing these profound acts of patience, by actually engaging with the folk who are spouting either thinly veiled or just blatant racism. I do always want to give people the benefit of the doubt, you know. Some people really just are ignorant and don't know any better. But anyway, but when it comes to the way that I'm seeing them respond to people being compassionate and trying to understand where they're coming from and trying to, like, reach out to them and help them understand our point of view, I don't see the same, there's just not the same care there. There's not, it's just, like, condescending, and I don't know. Anyway, I think when it comes down to it, a lot of times it's just about character. And it's about who you grew up around and who you're still around and what your community currently is and where you grew up and where you did or didn't receive an education, and not knowing how or not being able or being too afraid to seriously look at yourself in the way that you've been acting for the past, I don't know, however old they are. And feeling that the sensation that nobody ever really enjoys feeling, which is that feeling of, oh, I was seriously, seriously wrong about those thoughts. You can twist numbers any way you want to prove a point. But you can't twist the way that people feel. No one should be twisting that. And I know a lot of people want to say that feelings aren't important in terms of when it comes to truth, but I actually think that they're essential when it comes to truth. If someone says that they're hurt, or they're scared, or exhausted, or heartbroken, or they're feeling hopeless, and your first reaction is to tell them to take it somewhere else, or to throw some facts don't care about your feelings bullshit in their face, I think that really says a lot about the kind of person that you are. And less about someone being too emotional to see the truth. But anyway, I could ramble on forever about that stuff. Mainly the thing that I wanted to respond to and focus on was to the specific crowd who are saying, don't bring it here. This is where I come to escape this stuff. I feel like what these people maybe don't realize or take into consideration is a lot of things, but like one of the things I think they don't realize is that this isn't Pornhub. I mean, do I think that Pornhub should do a better job as a company? Hell yeah, for sure. But that's a whole other thing. This place, GWA, whether you like it or not, it is a community. This is a place where people have built relationships and cliques and income and a diverse group of listeners and performers, writers, editors, moderators, artists, all interacting with each other in very real ways all across the globe. And it's just, it isn't about politics. It's about how the Black members of this community feel. And the way that the people who care about the Black community within this community feel. And if we're going to care about, you know, okay, we talk about performer safety. We talk about GWA helping us through sexual trauma. I've seen people talk about insecurity, about their voice and how GWA helped them through that. We clearly deeply care about etiquette. We talk about writers getting credit where credit is rightly due. We talk about people stealing content, and we talk about body confidence, and we talk about censorship with passion. We've talked about net neutrality. And the reason we talk about those things is because this is a community made of people, right? And you cannot argue that this is just porn. So, what am I saying? If we talk about all of those things, you know, safety and trauma and censorship, doesn't it follow that if people in the community are feeling justly hurt about something going on in the world, that we would talk about it? Wouldn't we take the time to think about how we can make this a better place? This is a community, and it's actually the perfect place to talk about it. And something tells me that if it was a pinned post about coronavirus or about net neutrality, those people wouldn't be showing up in the comments being super loud about don't bring your politics here, or man, I'm just trying to jerk off. So that's what I have to say about that. I don't know if I was as articulate as I wanted to be, but the other thing that it made me think of was this play by Charles Mee called Big Love, and this one scene, basically it's this play about, what is it about? It's like
there are these women who are basically set to be, they're arranged to be married. They're arranged marriages. These women who were going to be married to these men that they didn't want to be married to, so they fled their country and showed up in, I don't know, Greece, I think. It's been a while since I've read it, but they show up on this guy's lawn, Piero, and they're like, take us in. And he's like, no. Or at the very least, he's like, I can't really do that. And all of it has, all of what's been going on GWA in terms of what I just talked about, and the stuff I was focusing on made me think so much of this one scene. So I thought I would just like read a little bit of it for a second. So no, it's not Greece. It's Italy. And they're here. The women, some of the women are here at Piero's house. So basically it starts off with them saying, really, we were mostly hoping to ask you to just take us in. And they have a little back and forth, and Piero says, if, for example, you were a member of my family, certainly I would just take you in, but I don't know you. And then Lydia says, she's one of the women, she says some stuff about, you know, we're probably members of the same family anyway, you know, descended from Zeus or God. And they talk a little bit back and forth about specifics and, you know, them getting help elsewhere. And it leads up to Piero saying, you know, as it happens, I have some house guests here for the weekend, and I would be delighted if you would all join us for dinner. Stay the night, if you like, until you get your bearings. But really, as for the difficulties you find yourselves in, disagreeable as they are, and as much as I would like to help, this is not my business. And Thyona says, whose business is it if it's not yours? You are a human being. This is a crisis. And Piero says, and yet, you know, I am not the Red Cross. And Thyona says, and so? And Piero says, so to be frank, I can't take in every refugee who comes into my garden. Olympia says, why not? Piero says, because the next thing I know, I would have a refugee camp here in my home. I'd have a house full of Kosovars and Igbo and Tutsis, boat people from China and God knows what all. And Olympia says, that would be nice. And Piero says, I don't think I can open my doors to the whole world. And Olympia says, look at you, you're a rich person. And then Piero says, okay, well then, what if I were to say, yes, I can do my part. In fact, I'm not a bad person entirely. Some people think of me even as a generous person, and I can help. But why should I help you? Shouldn't I rather look around at the world and say, no, not these people perhaps, but someone else has the greater claim on my attention? And Lydia says, but we are here. Piero says, yes. Lydia says, we are here on your terrace. Why do you look for someone else? Look for someone else, too, if you want. But we are here. I think that's about as much as I'll read of that, because that's the part that it really made me think of. and I should stop talking. But if you listened, thank you very much for doing that. And I hope that you also, just as a reminder, go and listen to Zeta Midnight's post.